Hello, welcome to Old and New, the movie review podcast, looking at old and new releases all alike. I am joined with Juan here. Nice to have you here.
Always good to be here.
Thank you very much. Now, it's the beginning of the month. October just hit, or just ended. We're out of the Halloween spirit, unfortunately, because I would keep it continuing all year. So we got that going for us. It's November, and I'll take you back to last Halloween, which was about a week ago. Saw the new Terminator movie, Terminator Dark Fate. This is the sixth Terminator movie, and the third one in 10 years, because they are desperately trying to reboot the franchise and having it be some sort of huge thing again since the 90s. And that's really odd to consider, considering that Terminator was supposed to be like this kind of tight group of movies, and it wasn't. I don't feel it was supposed to be a franchise. It was more supposed to be kind of just James Cameron's passion project. Yeah. You know, he did the first two. Well, he did the first one. It was one of his first movies, and then he went on to do stuff like Alien and The Abyss, and then he brought it back with Terminator 2, and then that was kind of it for a while. I mean, there were some things thrown out, like comic books, and there was the theme park attraction T-Doo 3D, but those didn't really... those were kind of just fun. They really weren't meant to be, like, huge. So what ended up happening is Terminator 3 happened without the involvement of James Cameron. Mm-hmm. Did very well at the box office, got moderately okay reviews. So that was kind of like the end of the Terminator series for about 6 years. And then Terminator Salvation happens. Awful movie, in my opinion. Absolute terrible. Yeah. But not as bad. Because back to back, there was Terminator Salvation and Terminator Genesis, which were both really like the most cash grab sequels you can have. Terminator Salvation at least had a purpose, because it wasn't basically the idea a person from the future protecting a person from the past. They moved past that with Terminator Salvation, thank goodness. But then that movie wasn't a big hit. People didn't really like it. It didn't do that great at the box office. So they tried it with the classic format with Terminator Genesis, which was basically everything awful about the franchise and more, because it was just about Kyle Reese being sent back into time to protect Sarah Connor, and then you find out the timeline's been altered. It was just a disaster. So that Terminator Genesis happens, and that, again, it underperforms, and then we're at the point where they want to, you know, try something different. So they bring James Cameron back to the franchise to do Terminator Dark Fate, and it's hard to explain, but the movie has not done good at the box office at all. It really underperformed its opening weekend. So there's a lot to kind of unpack with the series, and we're going to talk about the movie in general. We're going to talk about Terminator Dark Fate, but I kind of want to just talk about the Terminator series as a whole before we get to that point. I guess we'll just start with basically the first Terminator. What do you think of the first Terminator movie? Or the first two Terminator movies, the ones by James Cameron? Yeah,
definitely. It would be better to group them. I think that as a passion project for James Cameron and seeing the evolution of his craft, it's definitely something to marvel. They're not good movies on their own, in my opinion. Like, Terminator 1 and 2 are classics, but they're not good movies on their own, right? They suffer from the same flaws as anything we've seen before. And a lot of people have this opinion. I'm sure you have it as well. Without Arnold Schwarzenegger, a lot of this just doesn't work.
He basically is the star of the whole franchise. That's why Salvation kind of doesn't work that well. And it's funny, because Arnold Schwarzenegger initially didn't want to do the first Terminator because he didn't want to be depicted as a villain. And then James Cameron basically said, like, I'll be able to turn the villain into the hero, like, show the good side. Yeah. And I agree with you. You need Arnold. You kind of need his support. And the first two, I feel, go so together. They're kind of, those are James Cameron's babies, those two movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And again, to mention, everything about the cinematography is very reminiscent of that era. It has the 80s lighting.
And you could definitely tell it's an 80s movie when you watch it, more so than other 80s movies, because the stuff stands out, the fashions, the hairstyles, especially, like, there's a scene in a nightclub that sticks out. You know, all this stuff comes with a movie set in 1984. I mean, Terminator 2 is the same thing, just with the early 90s. You know, it's kind of a time capsule of all that stuff, you know, listening to Guns N' Roses, playing arcade games and stuff. And I grew up with the first two Terminator movies. I thought they were amazing. They're movies I watched with my grandpa all the time, because basically they were like one of those action movies that me and him bonded over. Kind of the same thing with something like Die Hard. Or Steven Seagal movies, but Terminator kind of had always had, especially Terminator 2, it always had a special place in my heart, because it was always the 4th of July movie we watched, that and Independence Day. You know, those were the two that we kind of grew to bond over. So that happens, and Terminator 3 happens 12 years later. And Terminator 3 is not even a fraction as good as those first two. You want to kick it off on Terminator 3, because I'm going to rant on it.
Well, Terminator 3, for what it was trying to do, it's definitely the step in the right direction, which was exploration of Skynet, exploration of the setup to, you know, our main enemy in the franchise. But something that I'll mention now, and it will be sort of a returning theme, I think, for this entire, you know, podcast, this production, this episode, is this movie is not about Skynet. It is not about time travel. It's always been about studying character interactions. That is what makes Terminator 1 so great, looking at, you know, the Sarah Connor interactions with Kyle Reese, with Arnold once we see him as the Terminator, and, of course, John Connor in youth in Terminator 2. People love the human side of these movies. So with Terminator 3 coming in and explaining the background, while it's not necessarily bad, we do need this explanation, it begins to miss the mark. And from here on forward, all the movies follow that miss mark of just not having good human characters.
I agree, especially with Terminator 3, because they recast John Connor. Mm-hmm. I forget the actor they got, but it's not Edward Furlong. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, it's weird, because in Terminator 2, you feel James Cameron kind of, he tied the mythology of Terminator in kind of in one package in Terminator 2. True. It's like how, like, to make another one, it's almost not even counting T2 3D, which was the Universal Studios attraction for Terminator. You know, in the first one, that, you know, they destroy Cyberdyne, wipe out all traces of the Terminator. Like, they intend to finish it. You know, make it done, and then to make Terminator 3, it's almost like they have to cheat the mythology a little bit in order to just for a sequel to even be possible. And it that's evident when Arnold's like, you know, you didn't stop Judgment Day, you only postponed it. And then, which is cringy. And the humor is also very cringy in Terminator 3, especially when compared to the subtle, because Terminator 2 has a lot of humor, but it's much more subtle. Mm-hmm. And Terminator 3, it's like you have the part where he goes to the strip club and he steals the clothes from the stripper and then steals his sunglasses. There's that infamous scene where he puts on like the Elton John style sunglasses. You have all that. You know, the movie has this off the wall tone, the whole movie, and then at the end it tries to make it matter, because then you realize what they were trying to do is have John Connor like in a bunker while Judgment Day happens, to make sure he's safe and to make sure nothing happens. And, you know, that seemed to me like kind of an attempt to have more, like, you have this kind of jumbled movie, and then at the end, to emphasize like more seriousness, Judgment Day happens, and it's supposed to kind of showcase prominent change in John and such. But I don't know if it got that way. And, you know, Terminator 3 made a lot of money, a lot of fucking money. Because it was basically just because it was the first one so long, and it was so successful, and it was a really high budgeted movie too. I think it was the most expensive movie ever made at that point. It, was, it came out in 2003, July 4th, 2003. But, you know, the movie didn't really garnished, it didn't garnish that much of a reputation, as especially when compared to the first two. And then probably among the most infamous installment is Terminator Salvation, because they tried a totally different format. You know, they wanted to showcase it in the future with John Connor and Marcus Wright. It has Christian Bale and Sam Worthington. You know, it's trying to, you know, showcase how it was in the future. You know, you don't want to do the same story of just having a person protect another person. But Salvation was really not good at all, especially how it worked. If you want to kind of go into more detail.
Salvation, again, this one definitely felt incredibly forced. Is, I don't know if you remember Salvation. For me, this was the introduction into the Terminator franchise.
Oh, yeah, because it came out 2009, right, when you came in.
Yeah, 2009, that's when I first saw it here. And when I saw it in theaters, you know, it's just, ooh, another whatever shoot-up movie. But, you know, as I grew older, I explored the franchise a bit more.
Yeah.
And Salvation, there's one thing it does right, and I'll commend it for that, and that is setting up John Connor.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And I thought Christian Bale was a good choice, especially better than... in Genesis, it was not Jai Courtney. He played Kyle Reese. It was Jason Clark was John Connor. And I thought Christian Bale did a better job of bringing truth to him. It's kind of, he's kind of you know, he's definitely credible as John Connor. You believe it. You know, he went through this apocalypse, and he's coming out really hardened. And you believe him as the leader of the resistance. Would you say so? Is like, what's your point?
I would definitely believe it. You feel like every move that he makes in the movie and every sacrifice he's made is something that he has prepared for his entire life. He's known warfare. And he knows, like, there's the general disconnect from Terminator 2, and in a bit, you know, we'll talk about Dark Fate in a bit, but there's also that disconnect, that the earlier movies used John Connor to show the humanity, you know, the conflict of humans versus machines. John Connor himself is not a savior yet, he's just a kid. But you jump forward in the future, and you see, you know, the conflict that he's gone through, and it leaves you wondering, what happened? How much warfare, how much hope does he still have left? To not only fight back every day, but, you know, win, secure the win, as we know in the lore.
Yeah, and it was definitely very interesting that with the movie, they kind of addressed that, and just to see the progression. And it was definitely, it was just the idea of, it was a really, I thought it was a good idea for the movie, but just the concept just wasn't there. I felt it didn't really work. I thought there could have been much more to the story, but that wasn't really done. So that happens. It doesn't really do well. It didn't do incredibly good at the box office. And then they kind of go back to the drawing board, see what they want to do. And then they do Terminator Genesis, which... just no comment. Go on your rant on that.
It's so bad. Just, if you're looking for something to do on a night out, just watch Terminator Genesis.
Ooh.
And just sit back and laugh at it. It's just...
Yeah, it's... I remember when it came out, I was so... Well, I wish I could say I was more surprised, but I really wasn't because... I really didn't know what to expect because, like this, it felt like it came out of nowhere, this sequel, and it comes out, and then you don't know, like, how's it gonna work, how's it gonna do, and then you don't really realize, like, I don't know, I remember when I saw that movie, I didn't see it in theaters, I saw, like, a really bad pirated copy, and it just pissed me off, because... all the characters are really not done well in that movie, especially Kyle Reese, played by Jai Courtney, really underdeveloped, really underutilized. So that adds into the dislike of it. And then just the direction they take it, it messes up the Terminator timeline in a lot of ways. So much that, you know, with this new one, they decided to Simply,
yeah, just ignore it, wash it over, we'll pick it up after two.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the same thing the new Halloween movie did, which is interesting to think about, why it went in that direction. But now I want to transition to Dark Fate, which just came out. Yeah. Probably getting the best reviews of the franchise since Terminator 2, but still not incredibly great reviews. 70% on Rotten Tomatoes, which isn't horrible, but it could be better, and the movie's not doing well at the box office. It only made about $30 million opening weekend, which compared to its budget is really low. Actually, shockingly low, because that's a huge deal. You know, and I hope this kind of spells that this franchise is done and that they really should kind of leave it alone, because the more the stuff they do with it, the more it kind of reduces the reputation of those first two movies. Yeah. So that happens, and then...
And then we're left with what we got. So.
Yeah, which, okay, how I feel about Terminator Dark Fate. Actually, I'll let you start, because I'll go into mine, but what you thought about the movie.
All right, well, I usually like to start, you know, with the positives and the actual, you know, filming. I think lighting, cinematography, the usual, they were pretty good, on par with what we'd expect from, you know, this high-budget movie.
Yeah, and, you know, James Cameron's coming back, so they're going to go for, like, more his style.
Mm-hmm. So definitely a lot of clear colors, a lot of, you know, different locations, toying around with scenes and compositions. But there was one thing that really got me interested in it, and I think I've mentioned it in a previous podcast, that is Natalia Reyes, you know, Colombian actress, coming into the fray. And I wanted to see how they use her and the setup for her in the movie. And I gotta say, the way they forced it in, it was completely unnecessary.
Like, in what way?
In the way that, well, this reflects on the entire movie, and we can talk about it in detail later. But, you know, the way they overwrite, you know, John Connor as a character.
Oh, yeah.
It's, I don't know if you noticed, in that opening scene where, you know, where it happens, she was actually in the background.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was in the background in, like, in Nicaragua in 99.
Damn.
She saw it happen. And I was wondering, oh, is she going to be connected that way? Did she see it? But they never mention it again.
Not once. Not I don't once. Remember that
Maybe
at
it's
all.
Just me, like, thinking I saw her, but I'm pretty sure she was there.
Yeah, like, and, you know, that's kind of why people are freaking out. I'm like, the big thing online is they kill John Connor right away.
Yeah.
First 5 minutes of the movie, after you see some flashbacks, and people are freaking out about it. Now, I guess I'll start this off. I actually liked the movie quite a bit. I thought it was pretty entertaining. I thought it was, how I would describe it is it was a bit like a Terminator fanfic.
Mm.
And I mean that in a good way. Like, it kind of felt like a Toy Story 4 type thing. Like, not in the way that it was definitely a cash grab, but it felt like a cash grab that was made by someone who, like, did like the franchise, because it was directed by Tim Miller, who did Deadpool.
Yeah.
And basically how I like the fact that they didn't rely on, like, Sarah Connor's in it, the Terminator's in it. Well, the Terminator that killed John Connor's in it, but they're not, like, like huge characters. They're kind of side characters, which I like. Mm-hmm. I like that it's a story on a new character named Danny, but she is not... She's probably, like, one of the most undeveloped characters on the characters in the movie.
Yes.
I felt they should have gave her more. I mean, her backstory is somewhat interesting, but they really don't go into detail on it. But I gotta say, this movie was very entertaining. Just as a, you know, say, like, you know, you love the first two and you just want to see, like, you know, it. I like, for me, like, people are freaking out about, you know, John Connor getting killed. Like, for me, I don't consider this movie, like, part of the Terminator franchise. Like, in the sense that I feel like it's just kind of its own thing, you know?
Mm.
Like, it's set in the same universe, but he wanted to show, like, a what-if type of thing, or just to have fun with it.
Yeah.
Which I kind of feel is how they're going about with this. But people are kind of, like, looking at it as, like, serious, like, I feel like people are more looking at it as, like, a serious Terminator movie. Like, this is how it works, and this is how it's doing it.
To continue on to that, I think the issue in general, which, you know, we've detailed in the beginning and in now, Terminator is such a tightly knit, the first two are so tightly knit that it's difficult to expand upon it. And Jacob in the beginning mentioned the riots and all the movies.
Yeah.
But I always go into the little alternative media. So I've seen the Sarah Connor Chronicles, and Salvation had a comic book. These are two expansions of what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And
was this like planned out? Like if those if those movies are if that show or that movie did better, is this like stuff they would have featured?
Yeah, that's definitely something we would have continued. And we'll talk about it in a bit more because I feel like it would be a nice parallel to what we got in Dark Fate.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I kind of like looking at that extended universe stuff. You know, it's the same with Star Wars, like the direction they wanted to do. But, you know, because it wasn't like as successful as they intended, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, were you upset that they killed John Connor that early on?
You know, at first it didn't upset me because, you know, I was just in for the ride. I wanted to see what they did. But now that I have time to think about it, it is upsetting because Danny, as you said, is underdeveloped.
Yeah.
The setup is underdeveloped. And I guess the biggest thing is we never get to see I wanted to see John Connor developed here. This would have been the perfect time to say kill him off at 16 and he was dating Danny.
That
would make a
clever.
Lot more sense.
Yeah.
Let us have a little bit more John Connor before you decide to change the storyline.
Yeah, and maybe the problem is they couldn't get Edward Furlong, or maybe they didn't want to spend the money on de-aging him more through the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it all sounds kind of like excuses. And I even want to take it back to Chris Stuckman's review, because Chris Stuckman mentioned that point. He was like, you know, he basically said, I'm not mad that they killed John Connor, you know, as if it's earning up to something. And then he said he waited and waited and waited, and it never really built up to anything in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt like it didn't matter.
Yeah. So with that, it leads to basically how John Connor is... What's the word? You know, he's kind of pushed aside. It almost feels like people have been comparing it to like Alien 3, but it's like they just kind of want to get rid of him and focus on Danny's story. Or the person that helps her, what's her name? Grace, you know. Yeah. They kind of want to focus on that with Sarah Connor and then the Terminator. It's almost like John Connor put a restriction on the... it was almost like John Connor put a restriction on the movie because they wanted to go in a different direction than they intended. You know what I mean?
I understand that, yeah. Well, to a certain extent, and I guess I'll bring it up now since it's a good point.
Okay.
The Sarah Connor Chronicles, if you're not familiar with them, and to everyone listening, this was a show made in 2008, 2009.
Yeah, I think... exactly that. 2008 to 2009.
2008 to 2009.
Ran for two seasons on Fox.
It was a spinoff of Terminator after 2. And it did a few things differently from the main story of Dark Fate, which is a perfect time to bring it up now. The first thing it did is that it retconned Terminator 3. I don't know if you remember, in Terminator 3, we know that Sarah Connor dies from cancer.
Yeah, I remember. She does say that, because she's not in that one at all.
So she dies in cancer, she gets rebooted here, and of course in Dark Fate as well, because she's present now. But this show takes what could have been in Dark Fate, what I was expecting in Dark Fate, and it does it. But of course it's a TV show, so in my opinion it's kind of bad. I'll just go through the main points.
Yeah, it's like a Fox TV show.
Yeah,
you know?
So I'll just go through the quick main points. Big thing that happens is in 1999, you have another Terminator to come back in another ally of the John Connor resistance. But now they take John Connor and Sarah to the future, 2007. Okay. You know, this is like, what, 10 years, 12 years ago for us. But they take them to 2007. And here we get to see the John Connor development that I've been hoping to see in the main franchise. You actually get to see him go to school, make friends, you know, socialize, be a bit of a teen. But also face the reality that at some point, Terminators are going to come, the world is going to end, and he's going to have to step up. So it's a very interesting dynamic that they explored there.
Okay. And do they even, like, do they explain in the show, like, why Skynet, like, their only plan is to just keep sending more Terminators in the past to...
that is a big plot hole with the entire franchise.
Yeah. Well, again, it wouldn't have been as bad if it just was Terminator 1 and 2. Because you could argue, you know, oh, they just did it twice. They sent one Terminator back to kill Sarah. In a case that didn't work, they sent one to kill John. You know, that is believable. Yeah. That you can be like, okay, I can understand. But this whole thing, when it became a franchise of basically you have to – they just keep sending them back over and over just so that it – to prevent them. And that kind of reduces the tension. That kind of reduces this whole thing because, you know, yeah, you protect them. Oh, what if they just send another one back? And I felt like – I like that this one did, like, the fresh start. Like, it wasn't Cyberdyne, and it was an entirely different company, you know, not even related. People aren't liking that because they argue, you know, people are arguing this whole movie kind of, like, de-evaluates Terminator 2 because it makes, like, all the events obsolete. I don't really think of it that way because you have to just look at it how normally it would happen. Like, what are the chances, like, if the world was going in this path, if another company would create something similar to Skynet or Cyberdyne? And, you know, the chances are unlikely, so that part doesn't bother me. I thought the action was pretty good all around.
All around, yeah, definitely. A lot of the newer wave James Cameron action, which has to do with combining CGI with some practical effects.
Yeah, he tries a lot, especially like Avatar, you could kind of see it because he does motion capture because he wants to get like actual human performances in there, but when it looks like pretty jarring sometimes, you kind of get freaked out by that. But I was really entertained by the action. It was pretty consistent throughout. I mean, it kind of just happens because you have Danny and she's realized to be the... Well, before I continue, do you have anything else on the Sarah Connor Chronicles? Because it's in, like, 95, and it's basically just her running from this Terminator.
I'll cover it. I'll cover a bit of the first season, because it's shorter, and then we can do second season in between, because that adds a little bit more characterization. So, for season one of that show, they add Sarah, they add a character named Cameron, which is the program... The Terminator that they use in the same way Arnold is used.
Oh.
And then the evil Terminator that's coming back to hunt them is Chromity. So the whole
Chromatine?
Yeah, that's the name. Chromity or Chromati or however you pronounce it.
Huh.
And in season one, they allude to a programmer who created this chess computer program called the Turk. And that's their MacGuffin because they believe that's the Skynet Foundation. So all of season one is just trying to get the Turk, trying to get the programmer, and trying to make sure it doesn't escape into other parts of the cyberspace to create Skynet. And where a lot of this makes sense and, you know, it's viable compared, you know, our society. It definitely misses the mark on how these revolutions are formed or how Skynet would even be formed.
Yeah, you know, you don't even see the buildup. Like, I feel like, again, well, it's weird because in Terminator 2, it kind of blows your mind because one of the arms that the last Terminator lost in the first Terminator, that's what was the basis in Terminator 2. Like, that was clever. And it, again, showcases the fact that those two movies were more connected than the others. And with something like what you just said, it just happens. You know, same thing with Dark Fate. You know, you really don't... They don't show why this whole the machines rising up thing happens, you know, and that. But again, with Dark Fate, I don't really think that was their intention. It's not like Terminator 1 and 2 where they wanted to be deep, meaningful science fiction movies. I got more of the vibe that they just wanted to make some dumb action, but with Terminator. Yeah. And, like, there's nothing wrong with that. And I feel like they were like, you know, let's show our love for this franchise. Let's show... that we do still care, and that Terminator kind of does deserve more so than... it deserves a better swan song than Genesis was, would you say?
I would think so, yeah. It deserves a lot more of that justification. But something I want to bring up from Dark Fate that I think was interesting is it was very political, very topical.
Oh, it was, what was the big thing they mentioned? Oh, I can't remember what it was.
Two big things. There was one, you know, as a bit of a joke, you know, when Danny worked in the factory, you know, the robots taking over her brother's job. But there was also the whole concept of, you know, immigration, ICE, what we're doing to immigrants currently.
Yeah, they did talk about that a lot. It tried to focus on it a little bit. Yeah. And, you know, having a protagonist of Hispanic descent, they definitely wanted to be more reaching, you mm-hmm. know. And I also like that she wasn't like the mother of the resistance. She was the leader of the resistance.
True, and that's a great comparison. Seeing Sarah Connor to Danny, someone whose life was never intentionally part of the future, but instead a side effect. Like, you know, Sarah's entire job is to take care of John Connor, but she herself does not matter. No one would really know who she
is.
Yeah,
that's so odd, like when considering.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, kind of got to put on the top hat and the monocle because this is very snobby. This is a reflection on society.
Oh, yes.
It's no, because it changes the
no,
roles.
I know what you mean, yeah.
It changes the roles of women. If you look at, you know, a woman in the 80s who were just beginning in cinematography to break outside that mold.
Yeah.
And you see Sarah Connor being a badass, of course, but not entirely relevant outside of, oh, she has to have a child.
But yeah, now. Well, it's always in, even in Terminator 2 when she has to, basically, you know, she's like in the action, yeah, but it's all related to John, like protecting mm-hmm. him or getting to this place,
exactly.
Or, you know, killing a Terminator so the Terminator doesn't kill him. And yeah, with Danny, definitely, you know, she's actually considered a vital role of the resistance. Mm-hmm. And that is a good part, but I think that also increases the problem that she isn't developed because someone with that backstory, I feel like, should. Mm-hmm. And they even, like, tease at it because I feel like the flashbacks you see with her sum up her character more. And not at all, and it doesn't seem like at all like how she is in the rest of the movie. Or how, not they're not flashbacks, they're...
you mean the future? Like
Yeah. And it kind of makes you feel that you're missing a movie. Like, how did Danny become this, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, again, I don't think that's what this movie was shooting for. I think it's just me asking way too much.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't go into this movie with, like, super high expectations, but I was expecting at least a good thing to talk about. But back to what you said, they definitely wanted to comment on immigration or just the role of outsourcing, you know, kind of just what they mentioned in the movie, you know, working in factories and then, you know, machines are... that's not really outsourcing, but it's like machines are taking over
your jobs, your livelihoods, your careers.
Yeah,
your
so you're losing all this to, like, an inanimate object. And, you know, that's a very big issue. And what was the second political thing you noticed in the movie? Besides that Texas quote, was funny.
Second political thing. Oh, cybersecurity and being able to be tracked down. Another, again, so many perfect setups for our contemporary life. You know, if you have your phone on you, you're basically being tracked every minute.
Yeah.
Whether you like
it. It just increases that paranoia of, you know, are we being tracked? Are we being chased down? And I didn't even think about it because, like, I remember in the movie because, like, Sarah Connor's like, oh, you need to disregard your phone, not even talk about it. And then, like, looking back, I'm like, oh, yeah, that did, like, kind of spell, you know, don't be as willing to put your info online. You know, don't be, I guess in a sense, don't be bragging about that stuff as it illustrates. So that happened. We have that done. And then... Do you think the way that Sarah Connor kind of got involved in the movie was kind of forced too?
Well, you know, the big twist was coming up to it, and she was involved because the Terminator had kept, you know, sending her
messages. Yeah, and that was pretty obvious when she said, so basically what happens is, you know, this is like 20 years after John Connor got killed by a Terminator, a Terminator that looks like Arnold.
Yeah, T-800. That's
He kills John in the past, so that's done. And then 22 years later, another Terminator is sent back to kill Danny. I don't know what the specific term is for...
This Terminator would not have a model name, as far as I remember.
Well, it was weird because it was like... He disconnected from, like, his skeleton or something like that. And then it... I don't know. It was so bizarre. how it worked like that. And then he, like, disconnects to kind of reach his past. And then he just tries to kill Danny and her family the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And she succeeds at killing most of her family. And then this leads to Grace, who's this... they call her a cyborg because she's human, but she just has cybernetic parts. Mm-hmm. So Sarah, basically an action scene ensues, and a lot of this movie is simply just. I don't want to discredit it because, like I said, it is very good action, but a lot of it is kind of a action set piece, and then background of the story, and then action set piece. So that's kind of happening in this one. They have an action set piece that ends up on a bridge, and then Sarah Connor shows up just out of the blue to attack this Terminator. And then in the movie, they explain, like, how do you know that to show up? And then she just says, I get text every the exact minute. And that, of course, is going to set up. And what do you think of that whole, like, just text when something, the shit hits the fan?
Yeah, definitely. And it definitely feels, this movie feels the most, and I'm going to say this outright, this movie feels the most like a set piece out of anything past two. So, you know, Salvation, Genesis. This feels most like a set piece, not organic. Go back to one and two.
Yeah.
And everything feels like a mystery. You're going there, you know.
Yeah, it's a journey. You know, it's not just, you know, you have these action scenes and then this story. And then you have to have, like, a big climax at the end. Mm-hmm. You know, Terminator 2. Well, Terminator 1 is a chase movie, essentially, because mm-hmm. you have Sarah Connor being chased by Arnold. So it kind of is just a cat and mouse game. And then Terminator 2 evolves into so much more because... Yeah. You start with John Connor being protected by the Terminator, and then it evolves. It goes further and further, and then they straight up say, why don't we take care of this once and for all? Here, you never felt that way. It was more just kind of doing stuff because the plot required it, you know?
Now, something I want to bring up as well, as part of being a set piece, what do you think of what they did to the new wave Terminator, comparing Gabriel Luna, the actor for Dark Fate, to, for instance, Robert Patrick's T-1000?
Oh, well, I don't know if, like, I know, I kind of liked that they went with,
Like, do you prefer the human, you know, cheery, trying to blend inside, or do you just prefer the cold killer that was cold in Terminator 2?
I kind of, like the blending in with society aspect, because I kind of like that part with Robert Patrick in Terminator 2. You know, you have Arnold, like this big bodybuilder, mm-hmm. protecting him, and then you have this normal scrawny guy pretending to be a cop. It kind of like throws it off balance a little bit, them going against each other. But I think it works in a way, because I think it makes it a fair fight in a way. You know, Kyle Reese versus this Arnold guy, it kind of looks strange, but I mean, I liked what this new Terminator, you know, they went with her, you know, he's not like a physically intimidated guy or something, he blends in, you know, and you know, he's allowed to do all these things. And I liked who's the actor that played him again?
In the new one?
Yeah.
Gabriel Luna.
And again, I thought he did a good job. And you know, he's kind of given material that's hard to work with, because he's supposed to be a robot. And I don't know. It seemed like Robert Patrick in Terminator 2 had more emotion than he did in the movie.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to bring up. Because again, Terminator 2. We're just gushing about Terminator 2 for an hour.
One of the best movies ever made. One of the best action movies ever made. Yeah. So
in Terminator 2, again, because it has to do with this. We as an audience know what a Terminator is by now, so we know what to expect. And this Gabriel Luna's performance was great. But it wasn't intimidating in the same level that the right. other one was.
Yeah. I mean, even though he has all these abilities, you don't feel like... Well, he's not a cop either. Like, does he... I don't remember if he disguised himself. And did he disguise himself in Dark Fate a lot? I can't remember.
He arrived naked as Gabriel Luna and went... Because he arrived directly at Danny's home, dropped down from the ceiling. And he disguised himself as the dad, then as an INS worker, and then just continued with that getup the entire time. again, if it would have been far more interesting if we had a little bit of setup into Skynet in the future saying, okay, this is what a human should act like. Let's emulate it. Send it back.
Yeah.
Then it's more believable. But if you look at fucking Robert Patrick's performance, he doesn't try to be human like Arnold. He just gets what he wants, has some form of conversation. You didn't comply? Boom. I.
You know, I actually 100% agree with you. That actually makes so much more sense because thinking about now Terminator 2, that is really how it works. Like, he has, like, these brief interactions with the people, mm-hmm. like, to get what they want. Like, hey, that's a nice bike or something like that. Yeah. And then he just gets it. And he attacks. You know, he's still very cold and calculated. He's not trying to be anything he's not, which I like. And it makes him, like, more ruthless in that he's trying to hunt down John. And it also makes it more ruthless that he is, like, disguising himself as a cop just to find him. So I agree with that compared to Gabriel. And I looked it up. Apparently, the model he is does have a name. It's Rev-9.
Ah, the Rev-9. Okay.
I don't know if that was from...
No.
That was apparently the first appearance is in Dark Fate.
Okay, yeah, the Rev-9.
So you have this forced... Like, not, I don't know if it's like forced conflict, but it's basically, you know, Sarah Connor. You know, she shows up. And, I mean, and Linda Hamilton's very good in the movie. Yeah. But what basically happens is Sarah Connor shows up, and she basically is like, oh, I got these texts in the show. And then she's like, oh, where do they come? And they find out it's from Texas. So they decide to go to Texas to find what's there, which turns out to be a Terminator. Mm-hmm. And all this is happening on this road trip. And at the same time, Grace is facing difficulties because she has medical conditions and she always has to be medicated. So while that's going on, the big buildup is they run into Arnold. And then big reveal is you find out he was the Terminator that killed John Connor.
Yeah.
And I feel like the movie doesn't even... kind of acknowledge this. Well, it does, but you know, there's kind of this thing where the Terminator is now sentient. You know, mm-hmm. he has his own abilities, and you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger is very funny in the movie.
Definitely.
He has a lot of good lines, but how they kind of wrote the Terminator wasn't really what I.
It wasn't entirely consistent with the.
This is new because like. Like, again, we keep talking about Terminator 2, but mm-hmm. They destroyed the T-1000 in the first one. Okay. Yeah. So, in a way, his mission should be over after that point.
Yeah.
But it's not. Instead, he's more like, okay, now I have to, you know, kill myself in the lava and make sure it's all done.
Mm-hmm.
So, how come, like, nothing happened in his brain after that? You know, it's kind of like these small things that... That's why like my enjoyment of this movie comes from. I don't want to compare it to those. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of want to see it as just an entertaining Terminator movie. Kind of like the fanfic thing I said.
Yeah.
But the fact that he like is with his family and all that, you know, do you think that was an odd direction they took it in?
I feel it was interesting. It would work if we got to see how it happened. That on itself could be an own movie.
Yeah, so much.
Yeah, because if we saw, you know, from Terminator 2, again, John Connor was beginning to get to the Terminator, teaching him a bit more about society in
or like when he teaches him to talk cool and all that.
Yeah, talking cool, you know, high fives, having his own catchphrase, things like that. And it's just, it would be an interesting story for sure to see a young Arnold, you know, having killed off John Connor in Nicaragua in 99. And then he just wanders around living life and he finds someone and falls in love. That's definitely, you know what it would remind me of? Her. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, with Joaquin Phoenix.
That would have been an interesting take on that.
See, that would have been so much better. Yeah, or instead it went for more Jexy. did you see?
I saw the trailer for it.
Oh, man. Well, that movie looked awful. But yeah, her, like, you know, growing feelings for each other or... just in, because you kind of saw, like in Terminator 2, he saw the Terminator as like a father.
Yeah.
And even Sarah talks about it in that because she's like, oh, you know, he's the best father because, you know, he won't go anywhere. He won't leave anywhere. You know, he's just staying put. And it's cool that they, you know, talk about that and go into detail about it. But on another end, you have this opportunity you can deal with in regards to the Terminator. You know, he is a sentient being now. You also answer the question that he is able to age with everybody. That, you know, you have situations like that, but again, the movie is more concerned with kind of just getting us to the next part. Yeah. So you have Arnold. He's very funny. You know, I think the scenes he's in work pretty well.
Works as a drape.
That was so odd. Or just the lines. I must help with the groceries. Or that Texas. What was the line? You know, all the guns in his room. Yeah. And then he's like, this is Texas.
Yes, this is Texas.
I mean, it worked in the con. It was pretty funny in the context. This
is my favorite line is, our relationship is not physical.
Oh, yeah, because Sarah Connor goes like, oh, didn't notice you're like 400 pounds or whatever. Yeah. And that, our relationship's not physical. But again, you have kind of like this breather. And it's kind of like the Terminator 2 where, you know, you go to Sarah Connor's like people and kind of regroup there for a little bit after the movie. Or no, after like they break her out of the mental hospital. So while that's going on, they set up this whole, you know, breather moment where they're at the Terminator's place. Yeah. And, you know, of course Sarah Connor's mad at the Terminator because he killed John.
Yeah.
But, you know, they agree to, you know, work together, you know, Sarah and this Terminator, T-800, they agree to work together to protect Danny. So this is kind of like the final push in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So the direction the movie takes from here is kind of like normal action. It's kind of like the end of Terminator 2. It's kind of like starts the action set piece, like the big one. And it's very entertaining. I enjoyed the end, and I thought it had a good finish, don't you?
I think the finish was great. I think the final battle dragged down a little bit more than it should have.
A little bit, especially when you have like the parts where Arnold's fighting this new Terminator and it keeps going on and on. Yeah. Basically to the point where it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Cuz they're fighting it out, trying to get fighting it out till it's over, and then basically you have the stuff on the ground level happening with Sarah, Danny and Grace. You know, also fighting this new Terminator. So they, I'm kind of at a loss for words. You take it from here.
Again, the action scene is very reminiscent of what you would expect from a modern Marvel movie. You know, final showdown, everything explodes, everyone's overpowered.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, and Marvel recently has been doing it. Like, Endgame and Infinity War kind of dealt with it in a better way. But like something like Black Panther had the typical.
Oh, here's a good example. Again, Terminator 2 comes back, right? When you shot the T-1000 with a shotgun in the face, you could see how much damage it actually did. Mm-hmm. And even if, you know, he can come back, it felt visceral and it felt like it actually did something. Compare this to Dark Fate's Rev 9. He takes an entire truck from an accident to the face, goes into a car accident, just washes it off.
Yeah.
And can just rip off his skin and walk and make himself into two Terminators. Like, it feels way too overpowering. Even if you put all the resources together, there's no way.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you just have, it's basically CGI fighting CGI. Yeah. So you don't really have a way to, you know, kind of root for it. That's why you always have a connection more to human characters than you do. Or if you make CGI, make them real, or you make them, like, really captivating, then you kind of have a case more. But this movie kind of instead just goes for the, instead it just kind of wants to save the day.
Yeah.
It wants to save the day and kind of just close with a finish. And that happens with, so basically what ends up happening is they make a stand inside the PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
And the big part, again, the whole ending happens so fast that it seemed like just one big scene, you know, of fighting, you know, this big group of people fighting this bad Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going on. and basically all this craziness is happening, and the Rev 9 ends up into a spinning turbine, and it gets destroyed, kind of causing an explosion.
Yeah.
And this kind of it explodes and wounds a lot of people.
Yeah.
And this leads to Grace.
This leads to Grace, exactly. Which Grace, I think, for again, we needed another, maybe not another movie, but at least a nice half hour of developing more characters to really make
this
movie.
I mean, the movie is like, the length is 2 hours and 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And you think that'd be long enough, but it's not. Or if even they didn't waste as much time with certain things and focused on others, but... Yeah.
Because you have, you know, Grace being the soldier who comes back from the future, but we learn later in the movie, near the end, that she was saved at a young age by Danny, future Danny, and that's why she decides to come back. She wants, you know, pay it forward, make sure that the future is saved. And the fact that the EMP, the disruptor that would actually kill the Rev 9, is inside Grace, and Danny has to learn about, you know, sacrifice. Which is kind of forced, considering she saw her dad and her brother die in the same day or so.
Yeah.
It feels kind of forced that you have an immediate connection to this robot future stranger within a day.
Yeah, and I know, like, the whole, oh, you raised her. But you don't know that yet. It's like in Meet the Robinsons, where it's like, I'm your dad. But that hasn't happened yet.
Exactly.
But, I mean, and then they try to go, for that emotional moment where Grace is dying and... She basically says, oh, you can use my power source. Mm-hmm. You can use my power source to destroy this Terminator, the Rev 9. Mm-hmm. Arnold restrains this Terminator, and Danny stabs the bad Terminator with the power source, Grace's power source, and basically... Arnold takes both of them, like himself and the Terminator, together, and he says for John, and then it explodes and they both die. So I don't know if that was a good, maybe that was like an attempt at redemption, like he killed John and now he's he's saving people. But I mean, again, he was a robot following orders with that. And again, I know that all the Terminators are like that, but I feel like it could have been dived into much more than they really did in this one.
Yeah. But yeah, ultimately, the movie, entertaining, but they didn't quite scratch the itch we needed from a Terminator.
Yeah, I mean, and the problem with the franchise is you can either... basically how I see it is this. You can either... they could have either stopped it to, you know, have the first two Terminator movies... be classics, be well-known. You know, it's like Godfather 1 and 2. You know, you have the two that go together. But, you know, movie studios get greedy, and they decide to make more. And then when they do, that leads to problems because they basically don't even care about the mythology of these franchises. They just want to make a story that continues it. And especially with time travel, you're going to fuck up. You're going to fuck up in some...
Oh, that is... Oh, I could spend the rest of this podcast just talking about the time travel theories.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Terminator. And the fact that, you know... I mean, X-Men did this too, now Terminator's doing it. They're basically saying, it's done. You know, Terminator 3, Salvation and Genesis, and the Sarah Connor Chronicles are... Now they're being called, they're in an alternate universe.
Yeah.
You know, they don't even want to... Like, they don't even want to go with the effort that X-Men did, you know, go back in time and fix it. You know, they just want to say, we fucked up, and we want to we want to do this, like, new version. The only way we could do that is if we continue. Halloween, they really couldn't do anything else. They had to just start from the first one. They went in such an odd direction from the get-go that... they were kind of stuck into this corner. So Terminator Dark Fate's kind of a similar fate, except that Terminator Dark Fate is not doing very well at the box office. And then the movie ends on this note. Danny and Sarah are united watching young Grace because young Grace is going to be raised by future Danny, and they drive off. And the movie, I don't know, do you feel like that was like a setup for a sequel, or it was supposed to be a setup for a sequel?
Definitely, you can always set it up for a sequel.
Oh, yeah.
That's
the
first rule.
Genesis, I think, set up for a sequel. And then we never got it. this movie's trying to, you know, spell it out, but it almost felt inconsequential.
Yeah. And I feel like there's something you want to say that's building up that I'll get you to, but in the meantime, I want to mention what has been tried before Dark Fate, because I was mentioning The Chronicles.
Yeah, the TV show, yeah.
And Salvation was originally meant to be a new trilogy.
So they were going to do like three of them in that.
Yeah.
And then they took the material they were going to use for the comic book.
Mm-hmm. Like. And then they made a comic book of it. And I won't go too much into detail with the comic book because, quite honestly, it's boring and it doesn't matter anymore. But what they do in the comic book series is they finally do get to the Skynet center. They finally get to the core. They're about to end it. And John Connor asks, why would you do this? What is your rationale for destroying humanity?
Mm-hmm.
And Skynet, as the core says, survival. You created me, you would have destroyed me. So the big spoilers for anyone reading the 2005 Dark Horse comics Terminator Salvation. But the way they resolve it is John agrees with Skynet to finally shake off hands and say, okay, we'll work together. We'll rebuild civilization together. And what happens is John Connor, as he's doing that, accidentally jumps into the core.
Mm-hmm.
Gets pulled out and somehow gets put into the body of a Terminator. So now, exactly. That same face you can't see. So now the future, what they originally might have wanted to do with Salvation, is have John Connor in a Terminator body and humans beginning to retrust the machines that once betrayed them.
That's interesting. Well, and you could have even though like that sounds bizarre, like at least it would have been original if they went in that direction. But why do you think they decided to scrap that and just do Genesis instead?
I mean, this would have probably been trash, to be honest. It would have been trash.
Oh, yeah, but Genesis, I mean, was trash, but it was the same thing. This at least would have been original shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it ultimately, of course, comes down to money, but...
They want Arnold.
They want Arnold. They want the same feel. And I don't know. In my personal opinion, and please feel free to say this as well, I feel like Terminator has reached the point that every franchise does where it can simply die off and we can appreciate what it did for the rest. Because if you look, everything past Terminator inspired all the genres of cyborgs, mm-hmm. the Deus Ex type stories where we explore cybernetics and we explore the horror that comes with it.
Yeah.
And I want to bring up a great example of a bit of a parallel, in my opinion.
Okay.
Astro Boy, the original Astro Boy series from the 60s.
Not the CGI movie.
No, not the movie, but the original series.
Yeah.
Released in the 60s, pioneering manga and anime as we know it now. Yeah. Without it, that's the start. You don't see a lot of Astro Boy these days.
No, never.
Never.
It's weird. Same with Speed Racer.
Yeah, Speed Racer, Astro Boy, Lupin the Third, all of these old school series you don't see anymore. And it's not for a lack of interest. It's just because we as a society evolve. We like different stories. We like things that, you know, inspire us with a modern day. And before we kill off Terminator beyond, you know, milking it beyond a shadow of a doubt, we can take this time now to appreciate what it's done for our media and just look forward to what more great material we can create instead of rehashing.
Oh, I agree. I mean, and Terminator Dark Fate spells that. I mean, we're seeing Dr. Sleep tonight, the sequel to The Shining. And I feel like that's a unique sequel, you know, that actually has a purpose. You know, Stephen King wrote a second book, and now they're going to try to follow it up to both the book and this Kubrick movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're going in, they're trying to, it's like a sequel you can see happening, you know. This is more, you know, the studio just wants to make a quick buck. And I mean, all movies are like that, too. Dr. Sleep is like that, but Dr. Sleep didn't go into production until they saw it was successful.
Mm-hmm.
This is more of an example as we're gonna just make what sticks, or we're going to try to see what sticks.
Yeah, it's,
and
it's
this is a bad, this is probably the most prime example of that. I mean, I don't know, would you say like Jurassic World is suffering a similar fate?
Ooh, I think, all right, this is probably a controversial opinion. Jurassic Park, the book series, you remember, have you read the book?
I've read the first one.
Okay.
I read the first
Jurassic Park is a book series, is one of those diamond in the rough type of things, you know, once in a lifetime opportunities.
Yeah.
It encapsulated a perfect story on its own.
And the movie, the first movie, too.
And the first movie. And like, between the second and the third, like if you pick and choose, you can make something a little bit better. But we need to, this is a claim for like all of Hollywood, we need to stop capitalizing on one great idea and instead entertain the creation of better ideas instead of, you know, rehashing with sequels, with spin-offs.
And, you know, you look at a movie like The Lighthouse or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, mm-hmm. you know, these amazing original movies that are doing well, I hope they're like saying a lesson to people. Yeah. And, you know, I like franchise films too. I'm excited about the new Star Wars movie coming out. And I love the Marvel movies. Bad Boys for Life. I know that's your white whale of the coming up. But I like these franchise movies, but you need variety. You know, it's like Edgar Wright, the director of, you know, Baby Driver, Scott mm-hmm. Pilgrim versus the World. Yeah. He basically said, you know, there's nothing wrong with franchises. You know, you look at Star Wars, you look at Alien, you look at Terminator. They all started off as original movies by solo directors. Mm-hmm. But then they became franchise. And even Star Wars, you know, they originally weren't going to make any after the original trilogy. Alien, they weren't going to make any after Aliens. Mm-hmm. Same with Terminator, weren't going to make any after Terminator 2. It's just, they were supposed to be the set number of movies. You know, Star Wars just wanted to be original trilogy, and then they just want to keep going back to it because they know it's gonna work. It'll work to a certain extent. About how this will function, you know, mm-hmm. and that leads to kind of unoriginal concepts. And what Edgar Wright was getting at was one original movie for every franchise movie you make, mm-hmm. and I agree with that kind of philosophy. You know, you understand why studios make franchise movies. You know, they're successful, they do well, people enjoy them. Mm-hmm. You know, like Fast and Furious, the new, I think it's Fast and Furious 9, yeah, 2020 or 2021. That's happening, and you know, that just spells how much people like this stuff. You know, they want to see it. You know, people are paying to see this stuff. Mm-hmm. They are fans, but people are not paying to see Terminator Dark Fate, as evidenced by its box office take, and I hope this is showing that these methods aren't really working, or this franchise method is not working mm-hmm. for certain aspects. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's you take the words right out of my mouth, honestly. There's got to be a point where not only, you know, stop milking the franchises, but encourage new ones. And this mentality, from what I've heard of, again, Marvel Phase 5, this might be what they're doing from now on.
Okay.
Where they're, instead of, you know, trying to build a new universe that ends in an end game of sorts, they want to specialize in stories with the characters we know and, you know, just study them as franchises. So hopefully the future of, again, big budget marketed cinema takes the direction it needs to take before we all lose interest in it.
I agree. And just to kind of wrap things up, we're just going to talk about the aftermath of kind of Terminator Dark Fate, what people are thinking about it. So it got okay reviews, 71% around Tomatoes, and the consensus is Terminator Dark Fate represents a significant upgrade over its immediate predecessors, even if it lacks the thrilling firepower of the franchise's best installments. Which basically, like, said to me that, you know, this movie was, you know, it was fun to watch, but it wasn't, like, not highbrow, mm. like the first two are. Mm. And most people were, it's, again, says here, many people, fans and critics, were mad over John Connor dying in the opening scene. And people are saying stuff like, it tosses aside Terminator 1 and 2, it, you know, makes it not matter as much. It takes the emotional heart out of it. Mm. And do you actually feel it? Do you feel like it was actually like that much of a slap in the face to it? Because even Linda Hamilton wasn't happy with it.
Yeah. I think slap in the face. As a slap in the face, I definitely agree. And again, this is coming from someone who was never, you know, didn't have a nostalgic connection.
Yeah, to Terminator. You know, you could even look at it as like a business decision. Yeah. Maybe they didn't want to feature him, or maybe story decision, they didn't want to have him in this one.
Yeah.
And how it, they just wanted to do like kind of their own thing and not really be connected. But people see this as a connection to Terminator 2 and kind of ruining those legacies. But you have to understand what they, or maybe they did, again, like I said, they didn't really want to deal with Edward Furlong because he has a lot of legal problems. So they just de-aged him and showed him, got him out of the movie. So it's hard to really take into account, but I don't know. I just didn't really see it as serious. Like, I didn't really see the, like, I feel like the Terminator fans that are, like, seeing this as canon and actually, like, saying, like, this is the follow-up to 2, I really can't take that notion seriously. It's kind of like if you don't like the new Star Wars movies, you don't really have to, you could just still stop at Return of the Jedi.
True.
And you don't have to acknowledge that Force Awakens and beyond. That's entirely your decision, you know? So, to me, I really can't get pissed off enough to really bitch about it. You know what I mean? But, like, I guess kind of going back to what you said, like, yeah, you totally see it as a slap in the face, but it really didn't upset you in the long run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, again, how do I explain this? Terminator, again, and bringing up the point I said earlier with, like, Astro Boy and such, there are movies that, unique stories that inspire others, but the story itself must be kept. Dark Fate would have worked if it wasn't with a Terminator logo. Like, if it wasn't a Terminator movie, it was just its own thing,
yeah,
doing the exact
same. But then again, they want the name, yeah, so
they
people,
want the name. They want
people, like, see it. You know, they want a franchise name.
Yeah.
But then again, that's that's another problem. You know, people are afraid to risk on original movies, and that leads to another problem. It
could have easily been missed. And I'm at the point, you know, kind of wrapping up, like, throwing out possible ideas that they could have done for this one or for any future sequels. One of the ideas that I would support if they decide to continue after Dark Fate is introducing elements of Skynet. Like I mentioned in the Sarah Connor Chronicles, they introduce the Turk, which is, you know, just a computer program that can do a little bit more than it should. They could begin to introduce actual elements of Skynet, not to the degree that Terminator 3 did, because you remember that's a lot more technology-based and you actually got to see all the lab work, but just more of, here's this technology, here's the person who created it, what are they thinking, and how does that evil mentality carry over to Skynet?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, but... Yeah. Like, what this movie does is it kind of undercuts that because you have, like, this over-the-top comedic stuff, too. But it's not, again, it's not like the other Terminator movies, like the first two, where it's subtle and it works. Again, you have Arnold becoming this, retiring and raising a family. And I saw one comment that said that was, like, something out of Rick and Morty, you know, that this Terminator did, but that it didn't belong in the franchise. And then the director of the movie got sick of it. And he said the film was never meant to be better than Terminator 2. And he said that audiences were predisposed to dislike the film because they were mad where the franchise went. And they said they hate it just because it's the sixth movie and that Hollywood should be making original movies and not repeating franchises. So he agrees, even though he made the fucking movie. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck? But, and again, it's a beloved franchise. It's not like, look at something like John Wick. John Wick's a franchise, but it's an original franchise, and it has a purpose. It has a special place, you know? Exactly. John Wick 3, I don't feel like it's a cash grab. I feel like they just want to continue the story. They want to say what happens, you know?
Yeah.
Terminator, this is more just, we want to do it because it sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, this will be the last point I bring up. Is there going to be a follow-up to this? So, basically, after Genesis happened, this was the result of them announcing a new Terminator trilogy.
Really?
In 2017. In July of 2017. So, basically, what happened is Genesis kind of didn't work. It underperformed at the box office. And it got overshadowed by a lot of stuff that summer because Jurassic World came out the same summer.
Yeah.
Inside Out came out the same summer, Ant-Man. So it kind of got sandwiched in between stuff like that.
Yeah.
So then Paramount said, you know, we're gonna come and we're gonna make this new film trilogy, and they're gonna bring James Cameron back. You know, that was the big headline, and the whole rights to Terminator is also a big deal over who owns it and who doesn't. So you know, all this stuff happens, and basically, both Linda Hamilton and Arnold Schwarzenegger are saying they would come back for a sequel, that they would be willing to, yet because the film did not do well in its opening weekend, they're saying, like, there's no plans for further films after this. Like, after, like, the movie doing shit at the box office, they're kind of taking a step back, not really wanting to do that. Do you feel like that's the way to go? Like, just kind of... we had a good... Or not a good run, because it would have been a good run after the first two, but, like, basically saying, you know, kind of like if The Simpsons ended, you know, like, hey, you know, we had our peaks, we had our valleys, but it's time to kind of close up shop on this franchise.
Definitely. Definitely we can do one more movie if, you know, if people were willing to support it to close it off. And... again, the issue would be with the images, with the licenses. And the big issue that comes to mind and the big question is, who would replace or who would even begin to step up to Arnold's performance?
Oh, exactly. I mean, the guy, he was a fucking play the T-800s in Mortal Kombat 11.
Exactly.
But they didn't get his voice to in the movie. They have his likeness, but not his voice. Mm-hmm. You know, he's such an iconic villain or hero. If you from Terminator 1, he's villain. Terminator 2, he's hero. He's so iconic that you don't know. It's kind of like when they did the Nightmare on Elm Street. They did the new Nightmare on Elm Street remake. Mm. It was Jackie or Haley as Freddy Krueger. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to replace Robert Englund, who was the original Freddy Krueger. You know, he was Freddy in all the movies, all of them, and the TV show Freddy's Nightmares, which was like an anthology
TV show.
Well, it was like an anthology show.
Okay,
it was basically like a Tales from the Crypt or a Twilight Zone, and he would basically just present a horror story. Okay. And he did it in all of them, but then he wanted to retire from the role and. They brought Jackie or Haley to do the sequel, and it didn't work as well. And I feel like they have problems with that. And Arnold said he's up for coming back, but they killed him off in this one. So basically, if he did come back, it would have to go for another lame story of they sent another Terminator, and that's why there's another Arnold out there.
Or there was like another Terminator somewhere as a backup in the past with them.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, yeah, and it's almost like they have this Terminator ready to, you know, kind of just be on their side. And
okay. All right, before we ramble, let's just like kind of cap this off.
Yeah.
The entire Skynet plan falls apart, if you think about it. Sending someone back to just kill off the one person they're looking for. They're robots. They're machines. They could. This is a point that one of the film reviewers I watched, Ralph the Movie Maker.
Yeah,
he made with his Genesis review.
I know Ralph
review.
The Movie Maker too.
Yeah, it's like why not just nuke the world, like as soon as you can, or begin global climate change. You know, do something to actually wipe out existence without harming yourselves. If they're smart enough for time travel, they're smart enough to do that.
Do they have a reason? Like, do they?
It's never. Yeah. Again, the whole point is John Connor saves the world, but Skynet itself never has a reason to just go back and kill John Connor. They could easily wipe out every single human if they wished it.
Yeah, yeah. But then that gets in like they need humans to create them.
Yeah, they need humans to create them. And then they send like infinite versions of each other to attack.
Yeah, it gets ridiculous, mm-hmm. And they kept it simple on the first two, you know, and again, it's believable if you just leave it at that. Like, that's the end of the conflict. Done. You know, they sent two. Done.
Yeah.
That's believable. That's all they wanted to do.
Yeah.
The fact that they decide to, instead of, you know, like you said, do actual damage to the fucking human race, instead they just kind of do this whole, we're going to kill the leader of the resistance. That'll stop it. Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, you needed to revamp. So, I'm going to wrap it up here in a little bit. So, just final thoughts on the movie.
Final thoughts. Don't go in with super high expectations. Just take it at face value. Enjoy the performances of Arnold, you know. As hard as it is to face and Hamilton, Arnold, they're getting there. We might lose them within the next 10, 20 years.
That's so you got to evaluate. You know, it's same thing with... I can't think of it, but what was another? It was another example. Like Willem Dafoe in The Lighthouse.
The actors we grew up with are beginning to get there. It's just the fact of age. So let's not so much hark on the bad movies that they're in, but let's hark on the idea that even to this day, they're giving their best performances.
I agree. And, you know, my final thoughts is I did enjoy the movie overall. I thought it was pretty entertaining. For what it was, it supplied me with thrills. It supplied me with a decent Terminator adventure. But if you try to connect it with the other two, it kind of becomes a mess. So I recommend it in a way. I say go see it. It's a good time. It's nostalgic. Just don't come in with super high expectations and don't expect this to fill in the gaps. Like, say something like Blade Runner 2049 does to the original Blade Runner. Mm-hmm. It's not like a sequel that takes years and it follows right back into it. No, this one kind of goes in its own direction. But it's good for what it is, and I recommend it. I don't know how it compares to something like Rambo 5, because I didn't see Rambo 5.
I've not seen it either.
Probably when it comes out on video, I'll watch it, and then we'll talk about it, because I don't even know where they go with the Rambo series after this point.
I'm not sure.
Like, just Stallone's so old now. But that is that. We Terminator Dark Fate. This is Old and New. Signing off. Have a nice day, everybody.
Take care.